Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Coming to you live at the Build Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Plenty of stuff going on this morning. Of course, the Giants losing again. We have this Gerrit Cole deadline of the Yankees having to pick up an option, essentially adding one more year at $36 million to his contract or letting him hit free agency. I don't think there's any way that they let him become an unrestricted free agent, free agency starting now in baseball. But, you know, the long baseball offseason, I mean, you feel like there's like five or six guys that were at the top of the free agent class that don't even sign when spring training starts. It's like every year you have one of those, but the Juan Soto thing, I'm sure, will figure itself out sometime in December, somewhere in there, hopefully. But if you look back, some of these other guys weren't even signed, like the big contracts, until February and January. It just drags on and on and on. So this is going to be a huge offseason, both for the Yankees and the Mets. And quite frankly, what David Stearns and Steve Cohen do after seeing what this team was this year and how it was built and where the funds were allocated and how they handle it now is going to be fascinating.
Well, their biggest question is going to be Pete Alonso and Sean Manier. Those two guys will be, you know, top-tier free agents on the free agent market. And the question is, do they want to go long-term with either one of them, or is there another team out there that would like to go long-term with either one of them? So that's the Mets' issues. And I think for the Yankees, this decision about Gerrit Cole is a big one. Maybe it's etched in stone. Maybe he knows they're going to give him $36 million. I don't know. Maybe Boris has told him, if you don't get it there, we'll get it for you somewhere else, or we'll at least get 5 years and more than you're making right now. And we'll see what happens with that. But I mean, the Yankees will have about $88 to $110 million, depending on what happens with Cole, to spend. And that's really what it comes down to.
And that's up to, I mean, they could spend more, but they get penalized more. It's not like it's a cap situation. It's obviously to the point of the luxury tax threshold that they were at this year, which they obviously were comfortable with. Going past that, they may not be comfortable with. Let's go to Charlie and Toto. What's going on, Charlie?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Glad they talked to both of you this morning and got through. Huge Yankee fan. I did a little bit of my homework. The Yankees got room to sign Soto. They made $700 million last year, and they had a $400 million baseball operating payroll. So if you let Glaber go, Verdugo go, which I think they will, there's plenty of room to make a pitch for Soto. I do agree with what you guys were saying. Does he want to come here? Is it strictly about the money? So that's my concern. But the money is there for them.
Well, to me, it's 100% about the money for him. He already turned down two massive contracts and in two places he could have played for a long period of time. And now he's betting, or he bet on himself, to basically break the financial bank of the everyday player.
Yeah, and everything that he wanted to do, he has done in these last couple of years outside of winning another World Series. You know, he has the one with the Nationals. He didn't win one with the Padres, didn't win one with the Yankees, but he stayed healthy and he produced.
Here's the weird thing for me. Your AL MVP is his teammate, Aaron Judge.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron Judge signed for a nice, hefty contract. essentially $36 million a year. Are you telling me that the Yankees are going to pay Juan Soto twice as much as they are paying their captain and the AL MVP?
I don't think it'll be twice as much. I mean, I think they'll make an offer that might be...
Do you think he makes a $60 million, $60 to $65 million a year contract?
I think someone may offer that to him. I don't think that the Yankees would.
Then he's going.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's, yeah. And we, I think everybody agrees with the way he's handled himself, and good for him. He will go to the highest bidder. That's it.
If it's close, I could see him staying with the Yankees.
I don't think so. I don't think he's taking a penny less. Because the team that's going to offer him more than the Yankees is going to be an attractive spot as well, I would imagine.
Did the Dodgers get him?
Yeah, I think that's they're right there.
And they do another one of these deferred contracts.
They're right there. You know, and some of these teams, like in these, whether it's the NBA with a soft cap or the luxury tax threshold, we've seen guys go nuts to try to win championships and pay an insane amount of money. I mean, Steve Cohen did it with Scherzer and Verlander and went over that tax and was like, you know, he said it wasn't a sustainable way to do business, but he pushed his chips in the middle of the table. It blew up in his face. But for God's sakes, look at the Golden State Warriors in the NBA and the penalties that they had to pay to keep their team together.
Yeah, and they also built themselves a new building and made all their money from that building and sponsorships and
sure.
All that tech money out there and all that. So, yeah, they had to keep those guys because the building is ultimately what's going to make that franchise worth what it's worth.
Absolutely. So I do think that someone will go batty. I just, with the history of Hal Steinbrenner when it comes to the luxury tax stuff is he's not going to go way over it. So,
well, that's why all these other players on this list that are leaving this team are unlikely to be back on the team, simply because if you want to keep Juan Soto and you want to keep Gerrit Cole and you want to have Giancarlo Stanton and you want to have Aaron Judge and then try to rebuild the bullpen, maybe the best thing that they got going is they got a $2.5 million team option on Luke Weaver, which I do believe they've already invoked. So,
yeah,
that's cheap. That's what you need.
Right.
A lot of guys that you're not paying a lot of money to exceeding their contracts.
Mike in Manalpin wants to talk some Yanks. What's going on, Mike?
Boomer and Gio. Oh, yeah, baby.
What's happening, Mike? What's going on?
Nothing much, boys. How's everything going?
Good,
painful playoffs for the New York Yankees. Both New York teams really stink in football. So, you know, I'm just going to have to go into some kind of coma and wake up at spring training right
now. Come on, we got the Rangers and the Knicks, man. Come on.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I can't get into basketball right now. I'm still in a little bit of a malaise over the Yankees. But listen, they're going to sign Cole. I mean, is Corbin Burns really want to come here? I don't think so. And Snell is a guy that's always hurt. He had one good month. He parlayed it because he's going to go free agent. So you got to sign Cole. I understand the end of this contract is going to be like dog meat. It's going to be horrible unless he can reinvent himself like Mussina did his last year. And, you know, that's one thing. And they got to re-sign Soto at the end, even though, you know, his right field play was suspect, like you said, Boomer. He was like Edward Scissorhand out there. So, come on.
Back-to-back in that lineup, man, they had a special, special year. And you'd like to see them recreate that for the next 5 years at least.
I would love it. I would love that for them to do that. I mean, they made their money. I was at game 3 of the playoffs. They made their money. That place was packed to the gills. I mean, there were people standing with the pigeons up in the light fixtures up there. So that's how packed it was. They made their money. I can't see them not re-signing Soto. I mean, the only person who I think he'll go to is probably the Mets, you know, and that would be devastating, of course, as a Yankee fan. And all the rest of these guys have to go. Torres, I don't care what he did in the playoffs. Yeah, he played great. He played for a contract. He must go because, you know what, his mental lapse still killed us in game 1. Verdugo's got to go. You know, Rizzo's gone. Don't bring back Clay Holmes because any situation of a tight game, he throws up what he ate yesterday to try to close this game out for us. So, and that's it. You know, you have to move Chisholm to second.
Second base,
and I would like to see Bregman here. Right? I'd like to see Bregman here, hard-nosed player, and I'd like to see Bregman play third for the Yankees. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know how you, obviously Bregman's one of those Astros that you've grown to hate, but I don't know how you don't love the idea of him in your lineup and the championship pedigree and all that stuff.
I'll tell you one thing. If I were the Mets, you know, and I'm not all in on Pete Alonso like David Stearns may not be, I'd be all in on Bregman to play third base and move Vientos to first base.
Yeah, I love that idea.
That's what I would do.
Yeah, no, I like that idea a lot. So, all right, so let's just think about, though, So if the Yankees pick up the option on Cole, now we're talking 5 years, right?
That's right. 5 years at 180, you know, 180 million.
So AAV on that is 36
million a year.
So you got that. Then you got Judge.
36 million.
For more than that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So we're talking, what was it, 8 years more?
Eight more years, yep.
All right. So now you got five of Judge and Cole together, three more of Judge. And then also now we got Giancarlo Stanton for how many more?
Giancarlo Stanton is until, I got to see, let me see. He's 35 years of age. See, this is the thing. So, like, Giancarlo Stanton is 35 years of age. And he is here until he is 37 years. And then the club has the final option.
All right, so he's got how many more left then?
He's got 25, 26, and 27. 3 years left.
All right, so you've got 3 years of Stanton, Cole, Judge.
And that Stanton contract, oddly enough, looks like it goes down a little bit towards the end.
Yeah. So you got 3 years of that, and then that means you would have, if you added Soto.
Juan Soto!
You've got 3 years of that, then 5 years of Judge, Soto, and Cole. I mean, that's a lot of freaking money between those three or four players for a short amount of time. I mean,
Aaron Judge is 33. Gerrit Cole is 34. Stanton is 35. And Carlos Rodon is 32, by the way.
I don't think he's going back to the Yankees, man. I just don't. I really don't. I think that Brian Cashman knew there was obviously a real possibility when he traded for him. They wanted to go all in, and they wanted to do everything they could to win this World Series. And then he'd be like, okay, see you later. You know?
Yeah, here's another one. They also have Marcus Stroman on the roster for $18 million next year.
Oops. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you're going to do with that. But, yeah. I just, the more I think about, like, if you're keeping Cole, you still got to pay Stanton, you're paying Judge, and you're paying Juan Soto.
That's what
Juan
I keep saying.
Soto! It's just so much. So much. Yeah, it's.
And because, you know, Juan Soto is going.
Juan Soto!
is going to be around 50. He's going to be 50 million or more.
Right, for like 14 years.
That's what I'm saying. 50 million or more.
It's probably going to be more, too, honestly.
I'm just saying 50 just to be conservative. That's 10 years, 500 million. I'm assuming that's where it's all starting.
Yeah, but I think he ends up, I mean, I could see him getting like 12 years at $60 million a year.
Oh.
I'm serious.
No way.
I'm serious. I am dead serious.
What's that, $720 million?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I'm serious.
You got to be out of your mind if you're giving him that kind of money. I'm sorry.
Somebody will. Somebody's going to get close.
I know he's a great hitter, and I know he's a great baseball player, but that is insane. That's like when the Rangers signed Alex Rodriguez, and they couldn't wait to get out from underneath it.
Yeah, $252 million, 10 years.
If he did it for the Mets, the initial season tickets would go up. The sponsorships would go up. Initially, all of that stuff would probably pay for itself the first, hopefully, 4 or 5 years. But eventually, that's going to come back and bite you in the ass.
Of course, it always does. It's just, do you win in the time where he's still in his prime? You know, do you win in the next 4 or 5 years with him?
I mean,
and if you do, then it's worth it. It just is.
He was in his prime in San Diego. He was in his prime here, and he didn't win. Now, he won in Washington when he was younger, and they had a great team. They had a young Scherzer. They had a great team. Those teams disband for a good reason because they don't want to pay those guys long term. They try to pay him.
Yeah.
Which now when you look back at what he would have accepted had he accepted what Washington offered, it was a great deal for the team. Now it's he's going to take as much money as he possibly can, and he is not in this. And I don't think I've heard this too much. I think I heard it initially, maybe at the beginning of the year when he was playing well. Oh, he's got to love playing for the Yankees. He's going to give them a hometown discount. Yeah, it's the biggest load of crap.
You got to understand, they have agents, and the agents have a reputation too.
Yeah, you know what? The more I think about this, and I don't know how serious, I haven't done enough reading on what they're looking at, but the more I think about it, the more I think this is the perfect spot for the San Francisco Giants to do something stupid with Soto. Because they missed out on all these other guys. Plus, you heard a lot about that. Well, people don't want to live out in San Francisco because of the city and everything. Soto does not give a crap about where he is. He's taking every last penny. You've got the Dodgers in that state, a big rival with them that have all these other guys. This is the balls to the wall. We're getting this. They lost out on Judge.
You got to remember, San Francisco is also playing against San Diego and the Dodgers.
Right, and then think about him there with the splash hits and him out there in McCovey Corner and all that stuff. That's my prediction, that the San Francisco Giants go batty, give him a stupid-ass contract, and he toils out there. There you go.
There's your team.
Doesn't that make sense to you? Type of Bonds feeling out there?
But it also made this sense for me when it came to Aaron Judge, because Aaron Judge was from Fresno.
Yeah.
And that made a lot of sense. They made
a huge offer.
Yes, and so did San Diego, by the way.
Right, but see, like, Aaron Judge got the call from Hal and said, do you want to be a Yankee for life? You know, the whole thing, captain, this and that. And that meant something to Aaron Judge. It will mean nothing to Juan Soto.
Juan Soto porn.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Giants Turning Point coming up. And if you win, you can win a pair of tickets to see the Giants and the Buccaneers on Sunday, November 24th. So that's coming up in just a little bit. All right, Jerry Recco is back. He's got another update moment of the day for us. What's up, Jerry?
That's Thanksgiving week, is it not? November 24th leads into Thanksgiving?
So the next week, the Thursday after that Sunday
right,
will be Thanksgiving.
Like the 28th. Yeah. So, wow, how about that? We're brought to you by Hard
Isn't Lock. Isn't it amazing that we're almost here
Isn't
at week 10? And all of a sudden,
I don't
October.
Even think week 10, but the fact that the year's almost over, yes.
I think I heard Mike on his Bet Rivers podcast go, it's amazing how October just all of a sudden turns into November. Every year.
It does, and November will turn into December. We're brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We are also brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. Some of the postgame sound from the Giants' loss to the Commanders, who, by the way, are now 7-2 and still leading the NFC East. Brian Daboll, we didn't win yet again. And that Terry McLaurin touchdown at the end of the second quarter was unacceptable. Cannot happen.
Tough game, competitive game. In the end, just didn't make enough plays to get the outcome we want. You know, gave up some big plays there right before the 2-minute at the end of the half. And those are our game-changing plays that we need to make.
And then
make.
Gave up big plays at the end of the fourth quarter, too, where his defense couldn't get off the field down 5 with timeouts. So what did happen to the D?
Yeah, I don't think we didn't have any sacks, right?
Nope.
Yeah, we didn't have any sacks. We didn't have any turnovers. So not good enough.
Not good enough at all. Here was Dexter Lawrence. How disappointed was it to play badly on defense and just not get the job done and get off the field late when they had a chance?
Very. We got to be better at situational, knowing what's going on during the game and, you know, how we got to perform during that time of the game and understand the importance of it. And that's where you got to be at your best. And we wasn't.
It's always amazing to me. Watching football as long as I have, sometimes some teams look like they're playing 11-on-5 and other teams look like they're playing 11-on-20 with the spacing that some teams have and that others don't.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. Like when the Sean McVay offense, when he's getting these guys open and stuff like that, as opposed to just a miserable offense where you feel like every defender is hanging on every
yes.
wide receiver.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
To me, the two teams that I would say that about right now are the Detroit Lions and the Baltimore Ravens. Now, these guys, the Commanders, are good offensively because this quarterback creates so much chaos on the field because he's so good, so athletic, and as Dan Quinn said, his decision-making is amazing. Like, he protects the football. So you have this combination of this tremendous athlete, great personality, and his performance speaks for itself. So now you have a total new feeling about the Washington Commanders, especially with new ownership there now, new coach there. The whole thing is completely turned around.
Went from a cute little story to they're pretty good.
Kind of like the Houston Texans, even though I know that they lost to the Jets, but the Houston Texans were that team last year.
Last year, yeah.
Well, here is Jaden Daniels, that quarterback you're referencing. Washington 7-2 for the first time since 1996.
Got to live in the moment. Hey, you know, this could be all good. You know, we got a game next week, but I mean, I'm just happy for the fan base that they could be something proud of in the product that we're putting out on the field.
Are pretty good for the Giants, 2-7. They go to Germany to take on the 2-7 Panthers.
How many guys could you name for the 1996? Washington
Dion
team.
Wasn't Dion? No, Dion was on the Cowboys in 96.
Who do you think? Who started all 16 games at quarterback for the 1996?
At quarterback?
96.
Is that Mark Rippon?
No. He was before that.
It was before that.
This name. I mean, everybody knows who it is. It's going to be tough to guess. I would not have gotten this.
I don't know.
Gus Frerotte.
The guy who banged his head into the wall, right?
Banged his head in the wall that year, yes.
Gus Frerotte.
Wow. Who was the starting running back?
Terry Allen.
Okay.
He had 1,353 yards that year.
And give me the primary receiver.
Let's see. It was Leslie Shepard.
Leslie Shepard?
Yeah.
Really?
He had,
remember that
game
name.
Started. They didn't really have
I don't remember that name.
They didn't really. Oh, wait. No. They didn't really have a lot of wide receivers who played. Like Leslie Shepard, Michael Westbrook. I mean, they didn't really have anything.
Hmm.
Henry Ellard. Remember Henry Ellard?
Henry Ellard from the Rams?
Yeah, I guess. 1996.
This is right up your alley.
The Washington football team.
Wow, yeah.
How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I just didn't remember. Like, you would think, like, oh, since whatever year, like, when you reference a team that hasn't been so good since, like, you go back, like, Gus effing Frerotte.
Yeah.
A long,
long time ago. You guys mentioned the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, so they win 41-10 over the Broncos. Here was Jackson in terms of the passer rating.
I knew what the assignment was. You know, I definitely studied those guys. Getting with Coach T and just putting in extra work just because I was not there, just watching practice and studying film on those guys, that pretty much helped.
And so since they started 0-2, they have been outstanding, having won 6 of their last 7.
How many of those guys are wide open in a game against a very good defense, by the way?
All of them.
It's amazing how wide open the Ravens receivers are.
Now, Jackson was asked why the team is playing so well and succeeding.
God, you know, God, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we having so much success. That's the one that's leading us, you know, throughout these games and week in, week out.
So Derrick Henry was asked a similar question, why things are going well. He took a football approach to this, to the question.
Like I said before, I give the credit to guys who are blocking to make my job easier. And all I got to do is just make my reads, you know, to south and make the most out of a play.
So there you go.
Lamar, is Sean Payton going to hell?
I heard... two guys talking about, you know, I can't believe the Titans let Derrick Henry go and that the Giants let Saquon Barkley go because of their success that they're having this year. And I, you know, my thought process when I heard that was like, if Derrick Henry were with the Titans, do you think he'd be having this kind of year?
Hell no.
Of course not. Do you think that if Saquon Barkley were with the Giants, he would be having this kind
if
of year?
If Jesus wanted it, then yes. No, Saquon Barkley would be on his third high ankle sprain at this point if he was with the Giants.
Or he'd be having a good year and they still wouldn't be winning.
And Lamar better hope Mahomes is a Jew.
but the point being is that those guys are having their years because of the offenses that they're playing with and the two quarterbacks that they're playing with.
Yeah. That's a big part of it.
And how those teams are built with their wide receivers.
Man.
Wow.
That's one of those things that's probably going to attribute it to me or Jerry in a paper.
Eddie Scozzeri. Right. All right, Sunday Night Football, Vikings, Colts last night, and your team getting it done again there, G.
Third and goal, Darnold shotgun, Jones by his side, Jefferson wide left, three receivers right, 7-7, 2:54 to go in the third quarter. Sam back to pass, straight drop, throws to the end zone, caught, touchdown! With his fourth touchdown this season.
And that was Vikings radio with the call. That was one of three touchdown passes from Sam Darnold last night. The Vikings win 21-13. He threw for 290 yards. Pretty good. You also had Josh Oliver catch a touchdown pass. Jordan Addison as well. Their head coach is Kevin O'Connell. One guy we didn't mention was Justin Jefferson, but he played big. Seven catches, 137 yards receiving.
Justin, I thought, was phenomenal. I really felt him all game long from a leadership standpoint. Which is, you know, phenomenal to see, along with B.O. and C.J., Aaron Jones in that huddle.
Yeah, exactly.
Nickname can't be B.O. Come on. Vikings, by the way, Jaguars this week, and then the Titans after that.
So should get to 8-2.
You would hope so. Then the Bears after that.
Should get to 9-2.
Yeah, it's a tough game. It's in Chicago.
Where is it? Oh, it's in Chicago.
They have three straight road games. Or one of these games. That's weird.
That is a bit odd. The Monday night game.
Teams have three straight. I think every team has three straight road games at one point in their season.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought three in a row was unusual. I guess not.
No. Maybe not with the 17-game schedule. But
could be.
And plus, they played in London.
That is true.
Bucks and Chiefs tonight. Kansas City 7-0. Here's Patrick Mahomes, who says we've been really good in big spots.
We've done a great job of that, and I think as we've started to execute better in the red zone, we've been able to score more and more points. And so we're going to continue to just work to get better, and we want to be playing our best football by the end of the year.
That's pretty crazy that they haven't played their best football and they haven't lost yet. Here's Antoine Winfield Jr. Mahomes just a beast.
Even if he doesn't play his best, he finds a way to win a game. And so that's something that, you know, we know that going into the game, so it's not like, I know he, you know, he has some interceptions and things like that, but he finds a way to win, so we got to do our best to not let that happen.
And they win an awful lot, and usually the conversation surrounds the Chiefs' offense. Baker Mayfield says, you know, that defense isn't too bad either.
One thing, when you just watch their tape, they fly around. It's a unit that you can tell plays for each other, plays for that team, and they have great players on all levels. And so, obviously, up front, you got Karlaftis and Chris Jones that can be your game wreckers, and those linebackers are flying around. And the defensive backs, I mean, they're a lot of them are interchangeable.
And we'll have Monday Night Football for you.
Where do you think Patrick Mahomes is rated or stands with his rating or his passer rating? Out of the 32
middle of the pack.
Out of the 32 starting quarterbacks that 15th. Have played. Nope.
Just answer your own question already.
23rd.
24th.
Okay. And they're 7-0.
He just wins. He wins the fourth quarter. Everybody's comfortable. Everybody knows he's going to make a play somewhere along the line. Just, it's amazing. Like, when you look at his numbers and those numbers I gave you about Deshaun Watson back in 2020, they're completely different, and yet his team is undefeated, and Deshaun Watson's team went 4-12 that year.
By the way, Jameis Winston, three interceptions, and the Browns lost yesterday,
okay,
too.
Things are back to normal.
Which we didn't get to. Garrett Cole opted out of his contract with the Yankees over the weekend. We discussed that earlier, but the Yankees can void that if they add a fifth year to the remaining terms, which right now are 4 years and $36 million per season.
They have to do this by 5 o'clock today.
Yeah. We have decisions. So we shall see. I read something that they were going to let Boris know by last night, but I have not seen anything come out yet in terms of what they will do or they won't do. Pistons beat the Nets last night, 106-92. Nets back at it again tonight against the Grizzlies. The Knicks are in Houston against the Rockets. Your Rangers last night took on the Islanders. Here was this is a defensive play because your guy Shesterkin comes up huge in a big, big spot.
Take away.
I think at that point it was 2-0. The other save was at 3-2, where Horvat was on the left side of the goal. Yeah, yes. And Shesterkin made that save as well.
It's been unbelievable. And they, you know, they're in the middle of a contract negotiation with him, and because it is the NHL and the cap is a hard cap and everything else, you know, Ranger fans want him. We want to pay him. We want to pay him somewhere probably around $11.5 million. You start paying more than that, now all of a sudden it's going to cost other players their contracts, and he's not going to have as good a team in front of him. The more money he takes, the less likely it is that he'll have as good a team in front of him. But right now, over these first 9 games that he's played, I don't necessarily know that anybody's in front of him.
And here was Patrick Waugh talking about Shesterkin doing the job tonight.
The key of that, the play of that game is the save of their goalie on Orvat. I mean, if we score there, made it a 3-3 game, gives us momentum, and we could go, and that was a big save by them.
And he got
by
Anders Lee, too. He got Anders Lee right in front.
35 saves on the night for Shesterkin, Artemi Panarin with a couple of goals.
Hey, Al, would you go to the Islanders owner's box? That is, we always talk about a wonderful night that is. If we had a WFAN night on a Saturday night
in the middle December, of a vacation.
In the middle of a vacation, Saturday night, maybe the 28th.
And they'll get you a helicopter.
Probably not.
You still wouldn't?
Yeah, it seems like a long ride.
On a Saturday during a vacation? I don't know if it's not, wouldn't be that bad. So, no. All right. Eddie, would you go?
Iffy.
Iffy? Wow.
On a Saturday in the middle of a vacation?
Well, I don't know if I'm going to be here.
Oh, okay. Well, if you were here, would you go?
I would consider it.
Maybe if the Islanders got me an Uber.
They might.
If Schwartz drove me and Al, then we're in.
Oh, wow. He would do that. I think he might do that.
Because then he would be invited too, you would think.
Yeah, of course. Yep.
Very interesting. All right, moment of the day brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo Blanco, Cristalino Reposado Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. Obviously, it's Monday, talking a lot of football, and we also got into a couple of big WFAN names. Rams beat the Seahawks in overtime 26-20. I want to bring you back, when talking about Seattle, I want to bring you back to September when we got this oldie but a goodie from Chris Russo.
Smith played well, and his receivers, Metcalf caught 10, Jackson Smith and Juba, the kid from Ohio State, he caught 12 more.
Okay, so that one's kind of off.
And Juba, the kid from Ohio State.
But this might be worse when talking about Puka Nacua. Now, this was prior to the game yesterday, and this is not Chris Russo. This is a guy I would call Mr. Football, Joe B.
Cooper Kupp is back. The kid Puaha, whatever you say his name, Puha, the other wide receiver, is back as well. Puha. Poi.
Is that
whatever
for real?
His name is.
Is that for real?
Yeah.
The kid Puaha, whatever you say his name. Puaha, the other wide receiver is back as well. He's back there. Puaha, Luau. That guy, he's back now. Whatever it is, who cares? Doesn't matter.
There you go. Moment of the day. Not Chris Carlin off the ledge with Pua. Wow.
You know, I think he's married to Moana. This Puha. Ooha. Whatever his name is.
I love when you get to like that point in your life where you just don't care that you mispronounce the name that badly.
He's there.
He just doesn't matter. Puha, Nuha, Hooha. He's back there with Cooper Kupp.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network.
You know, you brought up the 1996 Washington Redskin football team.
Yeah.
It was interesting. That was a team that I threw for 522 yards against. Okay?
Yeah.
When I was in Arizona. So I went back and just looked at the team. And Gus Frat was the quarterback. But you know who they drafted that year, number 3 overall in the first round draft choice, was Heath Shuler.
Oh, yeah. Yep, of course.
Yes.
One of those big busts.
And Norv Turner was the head coach of that team.
Yep. Great guy. Never quite got over the hump, Norv Turner.
You know,
People really liked him, though.
He had a lot of success in the league, though, and he was highly respected. But most of his success, if not where his name was made, was with Troy Aikman and the Dallas Cowboys.
Yep, that's right. But never really as a head coach.
Kind of like Adam Gase had that relationship with... with Peyton Manning, that how he got that head coaching job.
Yeah, no.
He was the quarterback coach or the Nathaniel Hackett to Peyton Manning. As Nathaniel Hackett is to Aaron Rodgers.
Yep, absolutely. Just one of those guys in the sidecar. The jockey on the thoroughbred. Were you jealous of my fish picks from this weekend?
That was great, man. I'm sorry you actually said it to me. He sends me a picture of him catching fish off the back of my buddy's boat. that these are two high school buddies that he goes out with. So this is like a leech spot.
Well, they still live on the South Shore, and I live on the South Shore.
And they invited me as well as you, but I
and
had...
one guy I actually knew before I worked with you.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, I you caught a bunch of fish, which was awesome, and I was happy for you because I know you love that. I had all my New York City Marathon requirements that I had to deal with this weekend.
Yeah, so I sent Boomer a picture holding up the fish. I said, I had a great time with your high school friends. Leech spot. It was fun, though. It was great. And the great guys, obviously, Chris and Dave. And then I, for the first time ever, I caught, with surf casting, I caught a striped bass in the ocean. Just
I know I saw the video that you put out there with Elvis running around. Looked like Elvis was having a great time.
Oh, it was great, man. I tell you, there's nothing like watching a dog live his best life like that. Like, he's just out there free, just running on the beach and chasing after a seagull and just, like, rolling around, having the greatest time. So, yeah, when you go over to the beach like that, when it's, like, a November weekend and it's, like, 60 degrees, there's nobody around and everything is just right there for
it's
you.
About, it's about the best time to be on the
absolutely.
Beach.
I mean, of course, we love July and everything else, but it's just, like, just warm enough where you're not uncomfortable and it's a beautiful day, no clouds.
And the fish are running.
I'm fishing. I got my dog there, the kids, everything. It's just tremendous.
How far did you have to cast?
It wasn't that far. I would probably say... it was about 250 feet, maybe. Maybe.
Wow, they were that close to shore.
They were really close.
Wow.
They were really close. The birds were diving that close to shore.
How about when you were on the boat? How many fish did you guys catch?
Oh, just two. Was it two or three? Yeah, it was just two. It was just me, and I had one, and then Chris got one. That was it, unfortunately. But yeah, no, they were the birds. That's why I went out there. So I had no plan on fishing when I was over at the beach. Obviously, went out on the boat to fish, but then I saw the birds diving so close to the shore, and I'm like, hell, let me go out there and grab a rod and out there and bang. There's just nothing really like that. I mean, if you're someone who's into it. It's a lot. It felt like a real man, too, you know, grabbing that fish and showing it to my dog and my kids.
That's right. Look at this. Push ever came to shove, man. Dad could feed you right out of the ocean.
That's great.
Let's go to Mike in Westchester joins us. What's up, Mike?
Morning, guys. Big fan of the show.
Thanks, man. What's up?
In regards to Jason Kelce, the name that was used towards Travis, derogatory. Yeah. No questions asked. Okay, I'm a local police officer in Westchester County. Jason Kelce should be charged with strong-arm robbery and criminal mischief for physically taking that phone from that boy's hand and smashing it on the ground. Regardless of what the kid said to him, it's protected by freedom of speech. I'm called those types of names every day in an eight-hour work day. And if I ever did anything close to what he did on video, I would be tried, arrested and convicted by the local district attorney.
Hey Mike, I know the free speech thing, but you know, if a guy makes a threat at you, then that's not free speech, is it?
Well, he has to act on that threat, correct? I mean, I didn't hear the threat. I just heard the derogatory term he used towards Travis, which is uncalled for, but it's still protected by
Jason. Towards Jason Kelce, yes.
Correct, towards Jason, right.
About Travis. It was about Travis, and he was saying some things that were unkind. But then there's also video of this guy pushing Jason Kelce.
Was that after his phone was taken and destroyed on the ground?
I'm assuming that it was. We couldn't tell, but there was definitely a video where this kid did push Jason Kelce when he was bending down. I don't know what. I don't know why. I have no idea.
Okay, but that being said, he committed strong-arm robbery on video and criminal mischief. He should be arrested if the kid makes a complaint, hands down.
Well, if he got arrested here in New York, he'd be out tomorrow, so it'd be fine.
True, very true.
Yeah, exactly.
And I understand, Mike, thanks for the call. Yeah. I understand a police officer's frustration with something like this because, you know, with the body cams and everything, if you have a single five-second bad moment, then you're in every single newspaper and being criticized and yelled at, and some are really bad moments, but there's some other times that, of course, you know, the something like that, like throwing of a phone from a police officer, would get thrown completely blown out of proportion, where a lot of people had Kelce's back, but you wouldn't see the same thing. So I kind of understand the double standard Mike's talking about and why he thinks Travis Kelce should be charged.
Well, I mean, you and I know a ton of cops. We know the untenable situations that they end up finding themselves
exactly.
in.
Exactly. Yeah.
And how many times do we see, you know, on social media now, the cop cams showing just how uncooperative people are in real life. And I'd want to, like, just hit somebody over the head with an idiot stick. Come on, man. Wake the hell up. Just be kind and let the cop do his job or her job. And when they're doing it and they're done with it, then you can fight it in court.
Yeah, it's just something I'd never be able to do now.
I couldn't handle it. There's no way. I just don't have the personality to handle it.
No, me either.
And I know that because when I go to Casper's T-ball games, he's 2.5 years old, and there's nothing happening that the way it should be happening. I got to get involved. And I'm like, come on, let's go. Let's hit the ball off the tee.
It is tough watching youth sports and, like, trying to.
That's why I knew I couldn't be a cop or a coach.
Yeah, I know. And, like, I'm not going to be one of those crazy parents when they get older. When they're younger, the thing is, I just want to see effort sometimes. Just try a little hard.
I don't yell at him. I try to inspire him and encourage him.
That's
what I'm doing.
It's not a yelling.
You can do this. Boompa's here. He wants to see you do this. Let's do it right. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. And he's such a smart little kid that he knows how to do it now.
Yeah.
So I felt like I've had a positive impact.
I'm sure you have, and I'm sure that's going to be an impact that lasts for as long as you are alive. You're going to be on that kid's ass.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.